Hello, my name is Dr. Will Tuttle. I am a pianist and composer, and I'm also the author of a book entitled The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. It's published by Lantern Books and explores the repercussions of our food choices. I'd like to invite you now to join me in a discussion about some powerful and practical keys to inner and outer peace. I'll be talking on this CD about some of the main ideas in the book and how we can bring healing and positive transformation into our lives. The hidden key, I believe, lies in recognizing the huge effect that our food choices and attitudes have upon our culture and also upon our consciousness. I'll begin by talking a bit about how these ideas came to me. As far as my background, I certainly didn't start out in any unusual way in terms of food. I was born and raised in New England, Concord, Massachusetts, and was taught to eat like everyone else. It's called the standard American diet with lots of meat, fish, eggs, and dairy products. But when I was in college, I started questioning everything. This was during the Vietnam War era, though I must say my questioning of food was pretty minimal. Right after graduating from college, I felt called to go on a spiritual pilgrimage. I had just turned 22 years old, and my 20-year-old brother and I decided to leave New England, and we headed out on foot, walking with two little backpacks and virtually no money. We thought we'd aim for California, and after several weeks, when we'd gotten as far as Buffalo, New York, we decided to head south on our pilgrimage. It was autumn, and to make a long story short, we walked for many weeks south through the United States, meditating and praying and deepening an inquiry into ourselves about who and what it is that we are. As I became more sensitive to this question of who am I started more and more to feel into the reality, the spiritual reality of being, and that what I am is not just a thing, an object born at a certain place and time that will die in a certain place and time, but that what I am is what we all are, which is consciousness, is spirit, is something far greater than just a body and mental processes and conditioning. I began sensing that the essence of what I am is a manifestation of an eternal, benevolent, mysterious force, and that this essence in me and in everyone is sacred. I began to see animals also as manifestations or expressions of this same infinite loving presence. I realized that they have feelings and purposes, and that they are the subjects of their lives and have drives like we do, and that they've been endowed with the ability to suffer. I began to become more and more sensitive to their suffering and to whatever I might be doing to cause them suffering. So I began to start questioning whether it would really be right for me to eat them, to use them, to kill them, or to cause others to kill them. As I began to think about this more, I remember at one point we needed some food, and I ended up having access to some fishing equipment. I caught a couple of fish, I killed them, and we ate them, but it was extremely disturbing to me, even though I had fished and eaten fish my entire life up until that point. That was 30 years ago, and I've never fished since. I couldn't bear the violence that I was inflicting on them, and I began thinking that there must be another way to live and to eat. As fate would have it, or as life would have it, we stumbled upon a number of communes and spiritual communities as we walked south, in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and even in Alabama. This was back in the mid-70s. Some of them were vegetarian communities, and so for the first time in my life, I actually met flesh-and-blood vegetarian people. I realized immediately how healthy and vibrant these people were, and that one could be healthy, and in fact, even more healthy, not eating animals and animal foods. So that was a big change in my thinking, and that's really what got the ball rolling for me. Seeing these people, living with them for a while, for a few days or a week, in one case it was several weeks, I began to learn about the connections between animal-based foods and cruelty, conflict, disease, and war. There was a large community in Tennessee we visited called The Farm. This community of about 800 people was vegan before the word vegan was even much used, because out of compassion for animals, they didn't eat any meat, dairy products, or eggs, or even honey, or wear leather, and they had one of the first and only soy dairies in the United States at that point, and were making tofu and creating their own soy ice cream and soy milk and all these things. So I had a wonderful opportunity to see and taste all this firsthand. And I think I was very lucky to experience this at a young age, back in a time when it was almost unheard of. I jumped in with both feet and decided I wouldn't eat any more animal flesh, and then a few years later gave up the dairy products and eggs. I'm still grateful to those early pioneers for their courage and example of compassion. I can't think of any better fortune I could have had than to see their example at such a relatively young age. For the last 20 years or so, I've been exploring the connection between our eating habits and war and violence and exploitation and elitism. The culture that I was born into told me in no uncertain terms that it was right to eat animals, that it was right to herd animals, to confine animals, to castrate them, brand them, to inflict all kinds of mutilations on their bodies, to steal their children away from them, and to take their children's milk. My culture told me and still tells me that it's right to do that, that God grants us that right, and that we need to do it to be healthy and strong and real, and that it's no big deal. I was told, just don't think about it. They're just animals, and God put them here for us to eat. But I found myself thinking about it more and more and more. At one point in my life, in the mid-80s, I went to Korea. I shaved my head and became a monk in the Zen Buddhist tradition and entered a period of a lot of meditation and contemplation. In the monastery, we began meditating at 3 o'clock in the morning and continued with many hours of meditation every day in silence, living in a community that had practiced veganism for quite a few centuries. I found that the months of deep stillness deepened my sensitivity to the plight of animals and to my relationship with them and to the interconnectedness of all life. The many hours of silent meditation helped me to extricate my consciousness from the heavy conditioning that my culture had imposed on me from birth, to see animals merely as commodities to be dominated and exploited. Thank you.